people at the back of me, come towards the side, please. You're making me very uncomfortable. Because I can't see you. Morning, everybody. Morning, members. Today we are going to have the Commission for Gender Equality with us, but they are not here yet. We are just going to get a very brief report from Joy, who's assigned to do some work on the Commission for Gender Equality. It's Joy and Crystal. But before we start, once more, you are welcome, of course, but can we very briefly introduce ourselves? Committee members are not going to introduce themselves. I'm sure by now you know who they are. But briefly, may we know who's here with us today?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marion Bustra, and I'm representing the Office of International Diplomacy, which is an international NGO working on the promotion of human rights with an emphasis on family and inherent human dignity. Thank you.
I'm Nolthando Ketengana from the Ministry for Women, Children and Disabilities.
I'm Dr.
Mandela
Mbeki from the
I'm Dires Hwakwe. I'm working in the Ministry for Women, Children and Persons with Disability. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kaya Zweni. I work in the Office of the Speaker.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Peto Vyokagai. I work in the Office of the Speaker.
Good morning. I'm Pen from PNG.
Morning, Honourable Members. I'm Viokali Masilika, Parliamentary Manager in the Office of the Auditor General.
My name is Gary Rod. I'm the Researcher for the Selection of Young Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities.
Good morning, Patty Duncan, member of the committee.
Yes, Liv Daly for now, Stanley Kekana, member of the committee.
Dorothy Namudibe, member of the committee.
From the office of the of our ministry, what is your portfolio in the ministry?
I'm working as a senior secretary.
Myself, I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the ministry.
You know, I think I must say this. I expected maybe an acting DG or someone from the ministry to come. Because you know, this is a very serious issue that we are going to deal with today. I'm not saying I'm looking down on you as a senior secretary, but I would have thought maybe the acting DG would come. Because they need to understand these issues and need to understand what is going on in the CDE. And can I just understand, where is the minister?
Chair, with due respect, we learned that the minister is still recuperating from being hospitalized. He's still on sick leave, according to the report that we get from our people in Pretoria. So for now, he's still on sick leave.
Is she out of hospital?
Yes, Chair. She's out.
You say these things need to be communicated to us. As a committee, we can't even send her a card or flowers because we don't know what's happening. We don't know whether she's in hospital, whether she's at home, or, you know, there should be that healthy communication between us. And I'm just saying it here because I find no other floor to say it. That's why I'm saying it here in this meeting. Because we don't know where the minister is. Well, it's just sick. Nobody tells us anything. And also, I had expected at least her advisors to be here, at least, so they could, you know, understand what is going on here. It's a very serious issue that we are about. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think within the future, we have whoever's coming from the ministry, any official that be stated in writing, because I think we should have the take down officials here. So that be in writing that these people are going to represent the ministry. That you know exactly, you know, is it like that or is it not like that? Etc. Because legally it's incorrect for two people to sit here, just say they're from the ministry, but there's no letter to confirm they are from the ministry. Thank you.
I think we all agree with what has been said. And you just convey this message to the minister.
Yes, Chair, I will do that. But I'll pass the message or the concern that the chairperson has raised around this issue. It's very serious.
John, can you then briefly take us through? Very briefly, because the CGE is about to come.
Thank you, Chairperson. What we did was to, following the SCOPA meeting on Friday, to pull out some of the key challenges facing the CGE, what needs to be addressed, and how this committee needs to oversee. So there are four key issues that come out from the SCOPA meeting. The first is the non-submission of their strategic plan and annual reports to Parliament. The second is the lack of an effective financial management system. The third, the lack of an effective human resource management system. And their organizational development issues, and as a subcategory, I've included governance issues within the CGE. Now, the non-submission of the strategic plan and the annual report was a big problem. And I remember from the research unit side that for the last 3 years, we did try and get this from them. And if we had submission of reports as per the legal requirements, we'd have been able to have picked up some of the problems and the challenges much sooner, and we could have addressed this way back. So there's a dual role here. We have to get the CGE to take responsibility for submitting, and we also need to be sure that we monitor that this happens. Then lastly, there's a need to, because what SCOPA said is the content in these reports are now under dispute, so we need to test the reliability and the validity of the information, specifically around what they've actually done, their performance. And particularly so when the AG noted that no strategic plan was given to the AG, we need to now look at, if there was no strategic plan and we received one afterwards, to what extent is what they did weighs up against the actual strategic plan, and Crystal will briefly talk to some of those issues. Now, in terms of the lack of an effective financial management system, the main issue here was that there was no audit committee in both 2007-08 and 2008-09. If they'd had an audit committee, we would not see the mess that subsequently happened. What is good to report is that they've now addressed this. So since May 2009, it's been set up. but there's a need for this committee to make sure that it continues to function effectively. The other key problem was that there were no internal audits in both periods. This has also been addressed, but again, the committee needs to monitor this. The third issue, and this is a big one, is non-compliance with the PFMA. And in terms of, you know, managers and commissioners can be held accountable, and they, in terms of the PFMA, it's a criminal offence. Non-compliance is a criminal offence. They can end up serving prison sentences, and we need to make sure that people are starting to comply with the content of the legislation. Then there was no proper internal control with regard to financial and risk management. So, for example, they had no fraud prevention plan, which is why we see such huge instances of misappropriation of funds. Then there was also no chief financial officer, so nobody to manage and take accountability for the financial management. What did happen was that they outsourced this to a consultancy that did not deliver, and this has now been addressed. So they've appointed, they've reappointed their former CFO, and at least, you know, there's a hope that some of these issues will be addressed through him. Then there were no information systems to prepare the performance report so that it's accurate. So you don't have systems that allow you to capture information so that you can produce the financial statements in the way that they're required. And that we need to interrogate that has been taken up. I'm assuming that if they have a CFO now, it will be taken up, but we do need to pursue that with them. Then there were no proper supply chain management systems in place. And if you don't have this is basically a system of if you're going to procure goods and services, you need to have a system in place so that you make sure that, you know, that from an ethics perspective that there are no problems. Because there was no supply chain management system, we had irregular expenditure in this regard. Then there were no budgetary control and monitoring systems in place, which means on a daily basis and at the end of every month, they weren't able to tally what was being spent against income. And again, we hope that now with the CFO in place that this will be remedied. Then the next issue that Scopo addressed was a significant...
George, can you just hold on? That screen is so blurred.
Gee, there is a document.
We have the document.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they going to make... Yes, Chair, got one.
Can the Office of the Ministry have a copy of the document?
Sure. Lisa is also going to turn the lights off for us.
Then we are on page five.
Okay. So page five, Chair, and we are now on the last bullet, which talks about the problematic use of financial and operating leases. Now, basically, your financial and operating leases are when you have a financial lease, it's when you have say things like equipment, photocopiers, faxes, etc., and you have a lease, so you're renting them and you're paying a monthly fee on them. And what Scopo questioned is, what is the point of, say, renting a piece of equipment over a period of 5 years, which depreciates in value, when you may as well have bought it? So there's a need to weigh up in terms of the financial leases. Are you spending more money through doing this, or is it cheaper to purchase? The operating leases are things like parking and so on, but there was a big question mark around value for money in terms of all of these things, so that needs to be looked at. Then, you know, the sum total of the irregular expenditure amounted to almost 15,000 rand, and the problem with this was that it was not disclosed in the annual report, and I don't think that we've actually quite interrogated why it was not in the annual report. So that's something that needs to be flagged. I think it's a question that maybe the CGE can talk to today in terms of why was it not put in the annual report. There was also, Scopo also focused on the issue of the irregular expenditure by the former chairperson, and this amounts to a value of 323,000 for her travel expenses and the installation of Bluetooth in her private vehicle. The scope has spent much time looking at the issue of the fact that there was no chief financial officer, and what happened was that the former chair had outsourced this to a consultancy called Four Rivers Consortium. And what we see here is that there were no credit levels. We're not sure, because clearly they were hired to put in place a financial management system. There is no such system. And they paid this money with no deliverables, and currently the CGE is fighting a litigation battle to try and take up certain issues. So, for example, they didn't do a report. They have now exited from the CGE, but there is litigation underway. Then Scopa also raised the asset management issues, that there was an incorrect calculation of the assets and depreciation thereof. The entire system for looking at their assets and capturing this is dysfunctional. They currently, they have said they're trying to fix this, but we need timeframes around by when it will be fixed. Okay, then there was bad debts, an amount of 271,000 that is not recoverable due to bad debt policy. A big issue, and this undercuts all the other issues, is that they don't seem to have a documentation or an archiving system in place. So in terms of keeping things like invoices, et cetera, et cetera, there are no administrative systems for keeping these things, and that is something that they're trying to address, but we do need to question them as to how is it being addressed. And then the unauthorized expenditure for the acting allowances of commissioners. So, for example, in the period that the CEO post was vacant, two commissioners took over that post, and what they did was they took the difference between their salary and the salary of the CEO, and they split it between the two of them. However, the problem is an administrative procedure was not followed in terms of getting proper authorization for that. Then there are no policies and procedures in relation to financial reporting. So that's a big one. One needs to start from the point of putting in place proper policies and procedures. The human resource challenges, and this is a very significant one. Currently, you know, at the time of the Auditor General's report, there were six head of department posts all of them were vacant. Now, if the CGE is going to turn around and try and get a clean audit, those posts should have been filled yesterday. So it's a matter of urgency. You know, on the good side, they have filled the CEO post and the CFO post. Those were vacant, they now filled. The post of chair to the commission is vacant, and there's three vacant commissioner posts. So one of the questions from the committee should be around what is the plan for filling the positions. Then the lack of financial administrative systems are partially as a result of the staff vacancies and people who are appointed in acting positions. So when you have somebody in an acting position, then they finish acting and somebody else acts, there's no clear line of accountability. And this is also why the AG had great difficulty in getting information from the CGE. Then lastly, you know, we've seen, and this goes way back beyond the last 2-3 years. I think since its inception, there's been tension and conflict within the organization, which has significantly added to the problems that we've seen today. So, you know, we've had litigation against commissioners, staff. We had the whistleblower issues where staff reported and were dismissed and had to be reemployed. So there's a big need within their plan to interrogate how do you intend to deal with that from an organizational development perspective, and how do you intend to create a sense of team that is constructive and moves forward as a unified body rather than all the petty conflicts that have seemed to detract from their delivery. There's high staff turnover. People don't stay long, so they need to look at that and develop a staff retention plan. Then staff performance cannot be measured as there's no performance management system in place. And this is critical. You can't look at the performance of the CGE without linking it to staff members' performance. So that needs to be set in place as a matter of urgency, and we need to follow up on that. The AG reported that their recruitment, their training, and their disciplinary policies are ineffective and cumbersome. So we need to hear from them what are the plans to rework this completely. Then just a few governance issues. There was an extended period of time when, and this came out of the Scopa meeting, when the former CGE chair did not come to work and yet earned a salary. Now, from a governance perspective, this is the leader of the commission. How did that happen? How was not addressed? And what are the procedures to be put in place to ensure that that never happens again? There's also a need to recover funds that were misappropriated, and particularly, you know, when we look at, for example, the instance of the chair, the former chair, we need to look at what are the plans in place to get back some of that money, as well as disciplining staff and commissioners that were involved in the irregular activity. Now, this can't be done until we get the forensic audit report, but we do need to know what will the process be. There is a need to start thinking about how that will happen. And then there's a need to develop clear contracts for consultants to avoid litigation issues. So if we look at the Four Rivers Consortium, and they just won, the others, where there were problems with consultants not delivering, if you have a contract in place that's very clear and points out your key deliverables, the time frames, the amount of money that is going to be spent, et cetera, you know, this shouldn't happen. Contracts should be drawn up, they should be sent to a legal advisor, preferably, and we can avoid these kinds of issues. Then there's a need to develop clear lines of accountability in the organization, and this, as a matter of urgency for Parliament, is that there's a need to amend the CGE Act so that the chair is not only accountable to Parliament but to the Commission as a whole. Because this emerged as a big problem that the chair didn't account to the Commission, she said she accounted to Parliament, and she got away with doing certain things. Very briefly, some generic recommendations. We need to firstly, before we can proceed, we need to engage with the content of the forensic audit reports. Now, there's one being done by the Office and the Public Protector, and there's also the independent report that was outsourced from the CGE. We need to get that to look at, for example, who are the people named in the report, and then look at disciplinary issues and look at the other issues that emerge as well. I put the amending the CGE Act, which I spoke to. Thirdly, there's a need to engage with the substance of the turnaround strategy that the CGE has developed and to amend it from, give input from this committee. You know, does the turnaround strategy convince us that they can turn the situation around? If there are holes in it, let's try and fix that. The strategy must have clear timeframes with clear lines of accountability. And then there's a need for the committee to monitor on an ongoing basis to ensure that the targets in that strategy are being met. So that means we can't just call them a year later. You know, there needs to be periodic interaction. And then one of the recommendations we put in here is to say, one can't claim ignorance of the PFMA and say we didn't know and so we didn't comply. But just as a safety net, I think, you know, it's very critical that all the commissioners and the senior staff undergo training. I mean, we saw non-compliance with the Act, so it's very clear that training is needed and that we don't need to wait for the outcome of a forensic audit report. People can start going on that now. That they understand it. Bless you. So that, Chairperson, in a nutshell, are some of the key issues. I just wanted Crystal to touch on some of the issues between what they actually did and what was in the strategic plan. Thank you, Joy. Members, let's see, there's two documents that you have, an analysis of the annual report for 2007-08 and 8-9, but given the time now, we're not going to go through each and every page there. Just to highlight some of the key things that we found when Gary and myself went through these reports. Firstly, for the 2007-08 report, there is no strategic plan or no approved strategic plan against which to measure what is in that annual report. So how do we look at those achievements and the targets that were met and measures against what? So that was the first problem with the 2007-08 annual report. Also, there's a number of strategic objectives outlined, but it's not clear where those things are in this in the annual report that was presented there. If we just look at some of the programs, there's a program called Commissioners in that report. It states that commissioners were involved in a number of activities, but there's no disaggregated information as to say who was doing what. So even if people were running projects or doing workshops, seminars, those kinds of things, there's no record of who had done what and what the impact had been in that regard. Under the program and administration, finance and administration program for 2007 and 2008, under that program, there's a number of targets that they had set, which includes effective supply chain management,
Members, I'm on the 2007-8 document, but I'm just taking certain things out of it because there's not enough time to go through everything in detail. One of the things that they have there was in terms of adhering to budgetary control, and they set themselves a 90% target to achieve that for 2007-8. They only managed to achieve 20% in terms of budgetary control. Now, the report says that they were able to produce an annual finance report, which indicates resource allocations, and also monthly management reports, which allow for appropriate decision-making. So if those reports were produced, how did you manage to only meet 20% of your target for budgetary control? What was in the purpose of those documents that were produced if you weren't using them to inform your decision-making in terms of budgets? Also, under the program Public Education Information, it states that 528 education and information initiatives were held during 2007-8. But how was the impact assessed? How many people benefited from these processes? Who participated? Where did you go? What did you do? That kind of detail is missing from the annual report. So there's a lot of information there, like I said earlier, in terms of targets that were met, but there's not enough detailed information to say this is the scope of beneficiaries and these are the participants and this is the impact that these programs had. In terms of human resources for that period, under that program, the CGE has set itself a target of maintaining a vacancy rate of only 10% and also that no positions will be vacant for longer than 2 months for that period. Now, in 2007-8, there were 13 staff members who left the organization, with 10 of those people resigning from the organization. And as Joy mentioned, the HOD positions that were vacant, there were 6 of them that were vacant since 2007. So who was heading the different programs in the commission? And also, do we know the reasons for why people have left? I mean, 10 people leaving the organization is a big thing. So we need to know, in terms of retention and recruitment, has a statute been developed? What has happened since then? If we just go to, if you look on page 6, there's the research program. I mean, I would assume that that's a vital program also in the CGE, and they're responsible for tracking, documenting, analyzing literature and the like. But staff and human resource capacity appeared to be a big problem. Many of the provincial offices did not have researchers, and it states that factors such as staff members taking maternity leave had an impact on service delivery targets. Now, if someone is pregnant, I'm sure you could take adequate contingency measures to make sure that there doesn't impact on that kind of thing. So what has happened in the research program? And also, it states that they had interaction with various government departments, municipalities and provinces where programs were run and where research projects were undertaken, but it doesn't say which departments, which municipalities or provinces, and how long these projects took place. If I look at the last program under that, under the 2007-8 report, is the Chief Operations Office, and the aim of that office is to ensure that provincial offices adhere to the strategic framework of the CGE. And it looks specifically at the coordination of provincial programs and overseeing the budget and expenditure within the provinces. Now, the report indicates that this office achieved all its targets, and in particular, that the CGE had ensured financial systems are in line with legislation. Then how did the Auditor General give a disclaimer on this report if all legislation in terms of financial systems and aspects were adhered to? Just two issues that I want to bring to members' attention under the financial statements. On page 74 of the annual report, there's something that indicates that there was overdrafts in some of the offices. Bloemfontein and Kimberley had a 17,000 and 8,000 overdraft respectively, but the head office had an overdraft of 2.2 million. So what was the reason for that? And I think there's no explanation of where that money had gone to and what it was used for. And also, on page 83, in terms of disclosure of remuneration of the CEO, it indicates that the CEO's basic salary increased from 37% increased by 37% from 2007 to 2008. So what was the motivation for that increase? I mean, jumping from 376 to 515,000. If the organization was experiencing financial difficulties, what then was the motivation for that? So I think this is just, I mean, Gary could maybe add some of the 2008-9, but it's just to give members an idea of the kinds of things that we picked up in the reports and what we need to be vigilant of for the following reports that are presented. So I think in terms of strategic plans and those things that are presented, we need to take heed of the kind of information and the targets that are set out to be able to measure that against the things that are mentioned in the annual report.
Thank you, Christophe. And thank you, Joy, as well. I think that is the part that we have done on our side, just to get everybody on board as to what actually happened and actually what took place. We're not going to open this for discussion, it was just information sharing. I think for now, it would be fair to let the CGE come in and share with us what they have. So, Melissa, you can call them in. But this is a very awkward venue that we have today. Yes, we have church. You mean behind here? No, for them I have to sit.
Thank you.
CGE, you know where you found us, we were in order. Can you try and come down, please? There are 1, 2, 3, 4 chairs here. Morning, everybody, once more. Can we try and catch up with time and try to start? Mr. Shosu, can you take your chair and settle down? The members that have just walked in also introduce themselves. Because time is not on our side. There's nobody sitting here, you can take the chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will introduce myself and then I will ask each member from the Dinner Commission to introduce myself. I'm Mr. Mfano Zeleshozi, the acting chairperson for the commission.
Can we have that door closed, please?
Then I'll ask my colleagues to introduce themselves one by one.
Sorry, chairperson, can we just start again?
Please. Thanks, Chair. I'm Mfano Zeleshozi, the acting chairperson for the commission for gender equality. And I'll ask our colleagues from the General Commission to introduce them one by one.
Chairperson, I'm Keke Zomaya, I'm acting CEO for the Commission.
Good morning, my name is Moshabi Budu, the acting Chief Financial Officer for CGE.
Good morning, my name is Rogi Khutwani, I'm a part-time commissioner for the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning, my name is Debo Homa, I'm a commissioner with the commission. My apologies, my name is Debo Homa, I'm a commissioner.
Good morning, honorable members, I am Zileka Postia Loilani, a full-time commissioner. I'm Yvette Abrams, a full-time commissioner based in the Western Cape.
Good morning, I'm Janine Hicks, a full-time commissioner based in KwaZulu-Natal.
Rushida Shabdi, part-time commissioner based in the Western Cape, but working in the Free State.
I'm Andre Kidd, I'm part-time commissioner.
Commissioner, who is the chief?
Ms. Marlene, from the Women's 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 Women's
Good morning. My name is Marlene Clarence from Ministry of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities.
What's in there?
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nontlanhla Mkhize. I'm the DPG in the Office of the Minister for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities.
Firstly, let's apologize for the training. Actually, yes, the teacher.
I'm coming.
Obviously, you cannot stand through us.
Thank you. I'm coming.
Okay. Let's apologize for the venue. It's really an uncomfortable venue. But nevertheless, you will go on. Could you then immediately hear what she has come to tell us today? CGE.
I'll just make a 2 minute opening remarks and then I'll turn over to the acting CEO present on our 2007, 2008, 2009 annual report and challenge that is being presented by the committee.
And perhaps before we start, we know that you are here today to present to us. So I think we would also want to understand whether you are here today to present whatever, but also you are here to take full responsibility of whatever. We don't want you to tell us, no, I was not there, so-and-so was there. You are prepared to take full responsibility for questions and whatever.
Yes, sir, we are.
Can you make your opening remark?
Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity to appear before the committee. And I would like to thank the honorable members of the committee for inviting us and the chair. And for the chance to exercise our traditional responsibility to account for our institutional performance over the past financial year. 2007-2008 and 2008-2009, which we reported to this committee for our 2009-2010 and also account on the utilization of our parliamentary approved budget over the past 2 years, over the past 2 financial years. Part of this meeting, Chairperson, is also to present our budget for 2010 and 2011 and to present the challenge that we seek to address issues that have been raised by the Minister General. Madam Chair, the Foreign Policy and Infrastructure Investigation will reveal some of the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, so with more focus on the attractive and quality that has been raised by the Auditor General. We're also aware that the AG has raised a battle of challenges with necessary breakdown of internal controls and therefore appropriate compliance with specific countries. However, I'm happy to share to report that the internal strategy is being implemented to help efficient and effective financial management. Madam Chair, or Acting CEO will speak about this in more detail when presenting the general strategy. Can I present the two previous reports? We are on course to filling all the senior management positions, Chair. As part of our accountability mechanism, the Commission has undertaken to present the report to the portfolio committee on a monthly basis until the organization is stabilized. There are a few negative media reports alleging wrongdoing, Chair. The Commission has stated that anyone who has any knowledge of wrongdoing may report it to the relevant bodies such as Parliament. However, the Foreign Report and the Auditor General report clarify most of this issue. In terms of this presentation, Chair, the Acting CEO will present on our annual report, the general strategy, the strategic plan, the POA and the budget. All of us will be supporting and we will actually give input to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. before we start, let us all understand that this is not a courtroom. Right? We are not in court. But we are just merely trying to put things together here. And also on our side, as a portfolio committee, we are merely doing what we are supposed to do to play our oversight role. So just feel free and a bit comfortable. We are not in court. But also just to say, I think we are prepared to entertain the report. But I don't think we will entertain the turnaround strategy for now. Because, I mean, you've just brought it now in the morning. We have not seen it. So we need to look at this and try to understand what is there. So you will leave it, and the committee will find time in our own time to look at it. Then we'll call you again, and then we can engage. But for now, we are not going to entertain you. And I'm sure that is a feeling of the committee members as well. So then, can we have the acting CEO to take us through?
Receipt of the copy of the presentation. The copy of the presentation that we see now. Thank you.
The copy of the presentation that you are going to speak to?
Through you, Chairperson, we emailed it this morning, and I understand you have many thoughts already in the room in a meeting with the committee members, but we have asked our parliamentary officer to bring copies, and he is on his way to the venue now.
Indulge on that particular point. Thank you. Now, that's how we make our very comfortable. As you sit here, all those have copies. So, what do you want? But the screen is very bland. And, Bartos, what do we do? CEO, what are you presenting now?
Chairperson, I'm going to be presenting performance information that is contained in the two annual reports.
So we don't actually need a hard copy?
Not really. I'm just taking the committee through the performance information that is contained in both the annual reports.
Okay. So what page are you going to cover?
This one. That's the annual report.
Because in your own words, you say you emailed the document this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now my question would be, why would you email a copy of that when it's here already?
I think it would be better, you know, if members have got copies of the presentation, because this is just to try and work through, you know, those two big documents to try and summarize in terms of performance information that is contained in the two reports. So it was just to make it easier, you know, for the committee to be able to follow, instead of us going through one annual report page by page by page.
I hear what you say, but that's exactly what you are going to do now. You have not made it into the report. Because we don't have the copy. So we are going to go to the report and do exactly what you are trying to avoid. Then let's go back to the report and I think let's wrap around there. In the meantime, I'm going to go with someone and have them print it for us. What you make of that? Let's try and work smarter, please. Try and make things easier for us. We will also try and make things easier for you as well.
I don't have the 2008.
So let's start with the 2007-2008 report. That must be a copy of that.
Annual reports, which are before this committee.
the two annual reports, 2007-2008 and 2008-2009 annual reports. Chairperson, I will be dealing directly with programmatic work, that is work at the department, and then I will hand over to our acting chief financial officer to deal with issues pertaining to finances within the CGE. In the CGE, for us to be able to work on our mandate, we have three specific departments that carry out work. That those departments have departments that are supporting them. We've got our legal department, we've got our research department, we've got a public education and information department, and then we've got support department, we've got our communications department as a support department, we've got an IT department as a support department, HR, and then finance. In terms of the legal department, the work that we do in our legal department pertains to assisting vulnerable people around gender rights violation. Chairperson, we all know that there are a number of issues pertaining to gender discrimination. And this department looks specifically at issues that arise where people's rights have been affected gender discrimination. The department in the financial year for 2007-2008 handled 630 complaints that pertain to gender discrimination. Chairperson, when we deal with a number of cases, we have a number of categories of cases that we deal with, which relates to the nature of cases that the legal department will always work on. And then the nature of complaints that we work on in our legal department run from gender discrimination in a broader framework, domestic violence, maintenance, sexual harassment, and the like. What we normally do is we would receive complaints from the public, which then we would work on in terms of investigating. But we are also, in terms of our act, able to, on our own accord, follow up on cases or complaints that we may pick up. What we also do, and in most instances, this is what happens in the CGE, is that we always would get people coming in.
Can you just raise your voice? Don't try and make us understand what you do. Because that's going to take some time. Maybe some other time we can get into that. Just wait until the report. Otherwise, by the time you finish that, it will be 12 o'clock or after 12, and then we will just not watch the report. Let's just wait until the report.
Thanks, Chair.
Oh,
that's 2007-2008. For 2007-2008, Chairperson, I will just look through just to say we handled 630 complaints. And out of those complaints, we managed to close 429 of those. Maybe just to mention as well, and I think this is also in the report on page 31, the actual nature of complaints, and I think that table will capture very well for the House in terms of which are the highest number of cases that we deal with or that we dealt with at the time, like our maintenance cases,
and divorce cases. We have handled 281 walk-in complaints. These are complaints that we get, and we either give the members of public advice, and or we have to refer them to other institutions because they don't fall particularly within our mandate as the CGE. We do court monitoring in our legal department, and in the 2007-2008, we monitored 44 cases. We also engaged in litigation on cases where gender discrimination has been identified. In the year under review, four cases were looked at in terms of now taking those matters to court. We've got the Mbanza case, which was in KZN. We've got the fashionable age. We've got the Shulubani, which relates to chieftainship. And we've got the Sylvester versus Crossroads. Chairperson, over and above the complaints that we look at, we've got a parliamentary unit within the legal department which works towards gender mainstreaming of policy and legislation. We look at legislation from a gender lens and try and make sure that all legislation that is passed is working towards gender mainstreaming. For the 2007-08 financial year, 10 submissions were made, and the actual report, Chairperson, would show which actual portfolio committees these legislations were before. For the research department for the year 2007-2008, a number of researches were undertaken. Chairperson, I should mention that our research reports inform to a greater extent the submissions that we make when we go through legislative processes. We had four research reports that were done for this particular year, 2007-08. We have had the widowhood study, the representation in the private sector study, gender mainstreaming in the curriculum. We always call it our education report. And Chairperson, for time, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty in terms of what was in those particular reports, because that is put very clearly in the slide in terms of what the aim of the study was, what the findings were, and the recommendations that are contained in those particular reports. And I would like to mention as well at this stage, Chairperson, that we would be tabling some of these reports, and we would like if the committee would actually call us back to come now and engage in these particular reports. We've got our public education and information. Our public and education information department promotes awareness on gender rights to assist people to get access. We know, Chairperson, that in South Africa we've got a number of legislation that are put in place. People's rights are protected, they're preserved, your constitution, but in most instances, people in communities are not aware of these rights, and we use this particular department to promote awareness and also to work towards changing behavior and attitudes when it comes to issues of gender equality. The department's interventions normally go through workshops, seminars, dialogues that we hold in different communities. And Chairperson, when we work within the CGE, and I think that is also clear in the structure, we work through specific thematic areas. So this particular department has worked on a number of seminars and workshops as per
the thematic areas that we have. We've got gender-based violence, for instance, gender democracy and good governance, gender culture and religion, gender HIV AIDS, and national gender machinery. For the year under review, 528 interventions were conducted. We also take time through this particular department when it comes to each time, like your 16 days, to have specific activities planned for those for that particular time. And we collaborate with other government departments, with other stakeholders, to try and push the agenda on awareness.
Chairperson, the next slide just picks up, you know, the number of interventions that were done for this particular year. It picks it up in terms of national, and then also we go into provinces, in terms of what provinces have done. That would then conclude, in summary, the work that we did for the financial year 07-08 under those three departments. For 08-09, I'm still going to go through department by department.
Hold on a minute. Members, how do you want us to take this on? My view is that you listen to all the reports. Or do you want us to listen to the first report, engage in it, go to the second report? How do you want us to do it? Can I have a question?
Yeah, Chair, I think I'm glad to agree with you that we look down from the first report and then we go down.
Yes, Marcus?
I'll agree with the work, but what I'm wondering the whole time we're doing these reports, but they're not speaking to financial management. Because we're just hearing what is being done. Because when you look at the auditor's report, the auditor's report is on finances. So I think as we go along, we should they should speak to the finances of this report, please.
I suppose let's wait for that. Maybe it's still coming.
It's coming, Chair.
It's coming, yes.
Yes, Chairperson, but maybe we could get direction from the House whether they would want me to deal, like now that I've done with the programmatic work on 07-08, whether they would want to get into the financials before I get to the 08 or 09. I would need direction from you, Chair.
I think it would make sense that after the first report, you go straight into the financial facts. Then you will go on to the second report, do the finances, and that's how it should be done. So let's deal with the finances of the 2007-2008.
Through you, Chair. My report on the finances is it's combined for both the financial years. So I may, if the House permits, I may do the presentation after she has presented on the other performance information for the other year.
Okay, can we agree to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I will now move into the annual report 2008-2009. In this particular year, the legal department managed to open 424 files, and 403 of those were closed. In the annual report still, through you, Chairperson, we still have the nature of complaints in a tabular form, which we deal with. and I am not in the, I don't in the presentation really get too much into that. This is captured in on page 24 of the annual report. For the year under review, we had 538 walk-in complaints that we dealt with. We monitored 6 cases, and we have also litigated again on 4 cases. For research department, we have 5 research reports which we have completed for the year under review. We've got our monitoring mainstream of gender and HIV and AIDS study. We've got the victims charter study. We've got our gender barometer, and we've got the length study. And I would want Chairperson to also just to indicate that for the length study, that particular project has almost rolled over into the next to this financial year. We got all the information for the last financial year. However, the printing and layout and design is only going taking place now as we speak, and therefore it's kind of rolled over into the next year. For public education and information, we've had specific activities that we looked into, and our focus mainly due to the fact that that financial year we were going to get into general elections, we looked at women and legislative processes, looked at issues of 50-50 representation, we forged a number of partnerships with national and community radio stations, trying to create awareness on issues of gender equality. This particular department also helps us. When we've got cases that we've litigated on from the legal department, what then happens when we've got findings, then we use this department to actually go out also and create awareness, so that people know how what their rights are and how they can go about in terms of following up when their rights have been trampled on. That particular slide depicts the number of activities and interventions that were done by this particular department. I must say, Chairperson, in some instances, specifically for this financial year, you will note, the House will note that there are some of the activities which may not have been done, and mostly that would relate to a number of issues in terms of our finances, a number of issues in terms of capacity that we had. There were instances where we did not have education officers, and it took quite a while to actually fill those particular positions, and therefore some of the work that had been planned might have not been achieved. And Chairperson, I think that in a nutshell concludes the performance information that we've worked on. I will hand over, if through you, Chairperson, to our acting CFO to take on issues on financials.
And acting CFO, try and, in your presentation, try and tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Because you would remember that we have attended some of the SCOPA meetings. So there are things that we are interested in. So do try and tell us what we want to hear also.
Thank you, Chair. I will try. Already in my presentation, I determined the areas in which I'll be addressing the House on. However, I will also, where I find an opportunity, speak about things that pertain to financial management and financial management and compliance to regulations as such. My presentation would be constituted of the indicated points. The first one would be on the MTF allocations, that is about the money that we get from the National Treasury. The second one would be on expenditure trends, which would include the financial years on which the acting chief financial chief executive officer was presenting on, and will also include the projections on the what we expect to be reporting after the auditing of our annual financial statement for the year that just passed, and also projecting or tabling the budget for the year that commenced in April 2010. And we're going to also speak about the details pertaining to that year, specifically on what we have budgeted for. Over the MTF period, we are indicating amounts that have been allocated and approved by National Treasury to fund the activities of the CGE. Starting from the preceding financial year, we see that we had an allocation and we have already received the money promptly in full from National Treasury to the tune of 49 million rand. And as you can see on the slide that there's a gradual increase. Percentages have been given on the bottom row. Our analysis basically of the situation is that our average annual growth in budget allocation is around about 5.4. I think that would be even less than the CPIX. These allocations were classified according to this official economic classification element for compensation of employees. There is salaries payroll for people working at the CGE. As you can see that most of the money is allocated to cater for salaries. I will have to qualify that basically because the money that has been spent on salaries.
Hold on,
sir.
Chair,
I'm lost.
I think we won't have that, but it's actually done in an awkward way, but I thought let me just be quiet and see what. But I think that this is right. Where is the 2007-2008 financial report? Because you are now dealing with the 2009-2010. Can you just guide us there?
Thank you, Chair. I've got an item for discussion, item number two. That will be indicating the expenditure trends, which includes expenditure on the two financial years that we have discussed. We have had a presentation on performance information. The information pertaining to the expenditure on the two financial years would also be discussed during this presentation.
You know what you are trying to say there? You have given us the first report, that is the 2007-2008 report. Now all we are asking, where is the financial part of that report? Because now you are dealing with this one, and this is 2009-2010. So you actually skipped the first one. Are you understanding what we are trying to say?
I do, Honorable. I've got the slide, Chairperson, that would be speaking and indicating the expenditure trend.
Yes,
Papa.
I don't think that the commission has to speak to the trends only. We have to look at the actual, you know, which is what's in their report. Because we're going to oversight what the Auditor General said. And they've given us, if you go to everything, they starting on the first page with 2009 going to 2013. And we need to speak to this audit report. Trends is not enough, thank you.
Let me just ask the acting CFO just to go straight to the 2008-2009
I think what they want for us to reach to the expenditure.
Let's go straight into
2008 and then 12. We can also do that, Chair. We can also refer to the actual entry report. Yeah, of course.
Through you, Chairperson, I'm suggesting that we go through into the annual report, the hard document, and we'll make reference to specific pages within the report. And we'll also speak to the AG's findings pertaining to financial management issues.
Okay.
The financial, annual financial statement.
Your mic.
Thank you. The annual financial
statement. I'm not saying relax in terms of relax. I mean, just relax in food. I think you're allowed to be just try and relax and move on.
Thank you, Chair.
I told you you're not in court.
Thank you indeed. The information pertaining to the CGE's financial performance and position for the year under review, which is the year 2007-08, are contained in the annual report, page 61 of that report. In the report, the first statement indicates that the statement of financial position, traditionally known as the balance sheet. If you'd allow me, Chair, I would want to take you through basically as to what the balance sheet contains.
Members, this is a document we are referring to now. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's the document.
Have you got it, members? Do we all have that copy? Great. Marcus, you have it.
Thank you, Chair. We're going to be talking to a hard copy document that I presume everybody has possession of.
The on page 61, we've got the balance sheet for the commission as at the end of March 2008. The balance sheet is comprised of assets of a capital nature. We've got property, plant, equipment, which is constituted of office furniture, office equipment, vehicles. The details thereof are reflected within the same report under note 2. This component of the balance sheet was reported to, we have reported about 9 million.
Oh my, hold on. Honorable Kati and Honorable Martha. Chairperson, I don't think we're going anywhere. We don't want to have a briefing on what every page means. We have an audit. I mean, we the handover report was before scope. We know what is going on in these two annual reports, and we also know about the AG's opinion. And I think that the department should have come. And by now they should know that we are looking for why on the staff that's not been appointed. Why do they still talk about acting CEO, acting CFO, things like that? That is what we want to know. We're done with the 07-08-08-09. And really, I don't think I would want to listen to this. It's a waste of time. I think we must come down to the point where our parliamentary researchers have done work, and we must either then go over and start asking these questions and see whether the department can answer us on these questions. Should they not be able to answer us on these questions, then they can go again, and we will once again give them the opportunity to prepare. We want to know what is the politics inside of it. Not politics in party politics. I'm talking about the politics within the Department of the Gender Commission. That is what I would want to know. So that should we, I will. But I really want to make myself clear. I don't want us to open any book any further. Really, it's a waste of time. Let's go over to asking the questions and see how the department answers.
My problem with doing it the way they are doing it now is, remember there's irregular expenditure that was not disclosed. Now they could have given us what they gave to the Auditor General, and what the Auditor General went through, and he found, he gave them a disclaimer, because there were no documents, etc. So I feel, instead of them giving us the financial side, look here, we know what is happening. Let us ask them questions, because we have to know what are they doing about it. Because look here, I'm looking at one page where that 14 million, you can say 50 million, was not disclosed in their annual report.
Okay.
And they're going to give us now clean statements. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Martha. That is why I said, tell us what you want to hear. That's why I said so. Maybe what we should do now, we have done our work on our side as a committee. Can we just get straight in asking the CGE the questions that we would want to know and understand what took place here, why was this like this and so forth. Maybe that should make things easier for you.
Yes,
Chair. You know?
Yes.
As I said before, we are trying to get down to the roots of this, but at the same time, we are trying to make things easier for you and easier for ourselves. So why don't we just, because we have done some work on our side, why don't we just get straight, because the questions that we are going to ask you actually arise from your workings anyway. So maybe that will make things easier.
No, we agree with that change. Yeah, we agree with that.
Okay, can I now then leave the CGE a bit and come to us as a committee and raise the questions that are of concern to us.
Sorry, Chair. Then after I finish the question, we go back to the budget for 2009 to 2010-2011. After the question.
But the reason why I let it go this way, I thought you were going to do what you were expecting. But seemingly, there's a bit of a problem. Can we then have the Honorable Dorothy, Honorable Grace, Honorable Teddy Duncan, Honorable Marcus, Honorable Pearl, for now?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my first question is about what the annual report indicates, that an organizational diagnostic specialist along with the in-house finance team was working. The report indicates that an organizational diagnostic specialist along with the in-house finance was working to ensure that the organization would meet all its financial intent objectives. I want to know what has been the progress in this regard. And then the second one is, in light of the above, that the organization has set the target for obtaining unqualified audit reports, why then did 2007-2008 annual report receive a disclaimer from the Auditor General?
I don't think I want to see anyone relaxing. Let's take pens and jot down the questions so that you can assist one another when responding. Because we are actually asking this from the whole CGE, not to any individual. What's the second one? Is it Honorable Grace?
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe as a point of departure, I'll just start with the with the input given by the Chairperson of the CGE, the acting Chairperson actually, in saying there is a negative, recently there has been a negative report in the media with regard to the performance of the CGE. And I just want to say, Chairperson, this is a disgrace to us as the committee and to the community in general, that there's this stability, in fact, in terms of the functionality of the CGE. And it seems as if people are just spending money on useless things, Chairperson, according to the AG's report. And it's unfortunate, Chairperson. And to the issue of the lack of interventions, more especially to our rural provinces. When there was a presentation by the acting CEO, there was the issue of lack of intervention made in Limpopo. This means that the CGE is not known in some of the provinces, more especially to our rural communities. You can see the statistics in Limpopo, the Chairperson. And thirdly, I just want to raise the issue of the acting positions in the CGE. When they were introducing themselves, there is this acting CEO, there is this acting chairperson, acting commissioners. You know, it seems like we are still in Banana Republic, in a Banana Republic. This means that we are not going anywhere until this matter has been attended to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm referring to 07-08 financial year. I would like to know, there were 13 employees that left the organization. Why? What was the reason why they left That is what I would like to know. And then, and then my second question is actually for the commissioners. What did, were the commissioners aware of the financial difficulties within the department? And if so, what did they do to lend a hand and to ensure that they actually step in or come up with some kind of intervention? Those are my first two questions. Maybe I'll give somebody else a chance, but there's four others. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mocha.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm looking at this report here that they gave us now. And it's turned to page 9, the program for 2728. And look at the private sector studies that they did. According to this report, Chairperson, according to this report, it is clear that everything was done when it came to this. But when you come to page 43, and a person look at the gender analysis of economic power opportunities, then in the actual, they say, not achieved, see implementation problems. So I think that will tell us, you know, why is it completed here, and it's incomplete. You know, it's written down as incomplete in the annual report. Then number two, non-submission of strategic plans. I think they have to come to this committee why the strategic plans were not submitted to Parliament. Because look here, yeah, we have a strategic plan 2008 to 2013. This has been submitted now to us. Why was it not submitted to Parliament? And then my other question is, how valid is this? You know, validity. How valid is this? Because if you look into this report, signatures, it's not signed. We don't have the signature of the chairperson then, and I see there was something written by Mr. Seed. There's no signature. And if you go further into it, you come, I think just before the financial accounting, there's two signatures that are missing there. So how valid is this that you're giving to us? Because to me, this is illegal. Then the other question that I would like to ask on this, you know, we had problems. I'm glad the department is sitting here. We asked in each meeting, we said, tell us about the CGE. But your department couldn't answer us. And then within the meeting, we had Advocate Balani sitting, and she was the commissioner. And she was supposed to be here today, because she has to account, even if she is in our department. I don't like this, you know, not unfairness, but because look, it's going to cause tension, because it's underlying lying to us. Because if you were in the commission and when questions are asked, then you're supposed to answer us. And you're sitting here, all of you under oath. All of you are under oath. Our vote informal is not the court. You are under oath according to the Constitution. Then the other thing that I'd like to look at is non-compliance to the PFMA. Because when a person look at that irregular expenditure, that was not reported on to the AG. Why is there non-compliance? Do you know the PFMA? Or don't you know the PFMA? You know, you have to be very clear with us on that. Then my last question, I'd like to speak to also on irregular expenditure. Because we had the irregular expenditure of almost 50 million that was not reported. Then we had irregular expenditure by the former chair to the value of 323,000. What are you doing about that? What disciplinary actions are in place? And then the other thing that the acting the chair then said she has litigation against the CGE. Let's speak to that. That we can hear is their litigation. And then our last question is for this consortium. You are litigating. What is happening there? If there's any more questions, I'll come back to them. Thank you, Chair.
So now, can we have responses to the questions that have been raised? I hope you've been jotting them down.
Yes, Chair, we have been jotting them down. I'll ask Commissioner Hicks to speak on the organizational diagnostic question. And foreigners.
You know, it should be easier when you respond, just tell us which question are you responding to. Then it will be easier to follow.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. I'll take the questions raised by the Honourable Dorothy, if I can use the way you called your members. The first question relating to the organisational diagnostic was that the report reveals that there were specialists within the house of the CGE working to assist the CGE to clean up its act and obtain a clean audit. Yet despite our target of clean audits, we got disclaimers for the two periods. I think it's related to the final question asked by the Honourable Malchus is on the Four Rivers, quite as what is happening there with regard to litigation, if I can speak to the two together. We were in a situation where there was no chief financial officer at the CGE, and I think as commissioners we need to take responsibility for that. One of the other members spoke about a turnover of staff and actings and why positions weren't filled. A decision was taken to embark upon an organizational diagnostic process to ascertain why is there such a high turnover of staff within the organization. What interventions are needed to stabilize the institution, what corrective measures are put in place. And this is where the Four Rivers team came in and led an initial diagnostic process to reveal in glorious detail where all the misfunctionings were. However, an error that we made at that stage is we should have appointed a CFO, and I regret to say, being part of the plenary that made that decision, no CFO was appointed. And instead, what was done, because there was not capacity within the finance department to create an acting arrangement, was to bring in finance specialists to assist us in cleaning up the institution. Unfortunately, those specialists did not deliver. Those specialists were part of the difficulties within the institution itself that saw disclaimers arise. You might ask, what are we doing about that? You're asking about why we're litigating against Four Rivers. Part of the reason there's litigation is we are refusing to pay funds that are claimed on invoice by the specialists because reports have not been delivered and we've got questions around delivery. Okay.
Just a follow-up. They can speak to Four Rivers. But the thing is, if I ask a question on the litigation, now I want to know how far. You can't just tell us you are litigating. Give us a progress report on that.
I'll give the acting CEO to respond to that on how far on the litigation. Acting CEO.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the Four Rivers Consortium, where we are now, and I would also want to go a little bit back just to try and explain, you know, the situation when it comes to Four Rivers. There was, there are two contracts, as we can put it. There was the first contract, which was tendered into, and I think in 07, 08, and I don't really think we've got issues with that. Subsequent to this, there was a contract that was entered into by the CGE through the former chairperson for a further contract of about 3.2 million. And that's where the issue is. We are at now. We've got in the that
hold
contract
on,
an arbitration clause.
You know what is the problem with the CGE? you tend to stutter when you have to say what you want to say. Just tell us what happened. Don't beat about the bush. Because we already have facts about what took place and you know, don't try and...
Thanks, Chair.
All the time you do this.
We in terms of the contract that was entered into, when there is a litigation that arises between the parties, we have to appear before an arbitration process. At this stage, we have together our legal representative and their legal representative looked into getting into agreement, because for arbitration processes, you need to agree on who is going to chair that particular process. So that's where we are at in terms of that particular process. And I must mention as well that related to that contract, there was a further subcontract that was entered into, and what they then did was to give us a summons on that matter for non-payment, and we have now settled that both contracts must go through the arbitration process as the contract stipulates. Thanks, Chair. So we are in the process of arbitration in that matter.
Questions have been answered?
No.
No, that was
the first question.
No, I'm just raising that. Can we move on? That's what I'm trying to say.
Can I ask Commissar Shabodan to ask I'll call Honorable Chris, that's how you call them, on the acting position for the chairperson, and then come to outcome or answer one on acting positions for manager.
On the acting chairperson position, Parliament the Parliament, the President appoints, so we are waiting with a bated breath. I just want to bring to the committee again that before we were became commissioners, May 2007, for a year there was no commissioners at the CGE. We are hoping that Parliament would really fast track. There's place for three commissioners that has not been filled. The former chairperson resigned last year already. We still have an acting chairperson. So we really appeal to the portfolio committee to see how this position can be fast-tracked. On the issue around the acting positions currently, we are doing interviews on May the 20th to interview the CEO for the CEO position. Then hopefully the CEO would start May, June, July, August. Hopefully by that time we will have not an acting CEO, but a CEO. And then we're hoping by August, as we employ the CEO, the first job of the CEO would be to interview for the position of head of department, so that these positions, these acting positions, come to an end. But in conclusion, we appeal to the portfolio committee. Pressure needs to be put on where we need to have our leadership in place. We are acting leadership in terms of the acting chairperson, and we don't want a situation again. And we also are looking forward. These contracts of us are ending in 2011. Again, is preparation being done for new commissioners to be in? Because the reason, one of the reasons why we're in this position is that for a year and a bit, there was only one commissioner operating in the CGE. There was no oversight in the CGE when we came in. Just one commissioner. No. The contract ended, and Parliament has never then appointed new commissioners. So there was only one commissioner. On May 2007, when we entered into the CGE, we had to undo things that happened whilst there were no oversight body in the CGE. And I'm just, therefore I want to bring to your attention that 2011, most of our contracts ends again. Let there not be this gap again, because that's when there's no governance structure in an organization, things go wrong. And what we had to do then is had to go back and say, why was this done? Who told you to do this? Let us undo this. But the system was in the place in terms of no governance structure.
I think I'd want to agree with you there. But again, we have received applications to fill in the positions of the commissioners. But we wanted to engage as a committee, but because of the problems that are within the CEGE, we were instructed to wait, you know, a bit till we clean up, because it should also make it a problem for the CGE and for us as Parliament as well, you know, to appoint when things are still like this. But otherwise, we have received CVs, they are in the office, but we can't move because of this. And as you have said, that the President appoints. So the question would be, who dismantles the President again? But that is done through another process of taking everything to taking a resolution in the House and so forth. But also, I just want to say there are reasons that are put in place for making these institutions like this one being independent. But for whatever reason, we feel sometimes they are somehow abused. And here we have our hands tied because we are so independent. That is a bit unfair and the unfortunate part of the whole thing. Yeah, you cannot run an organization in the fashion that the CGE was run by having this at the back of your mind that we are independent. You know, like you cannot touch us. There are procedures that are in place for intervention. You must just keep that at the back of your mind. But we thought, let's follow the correct procedures and see if we can mend things and so forth. But as we are doing that, time is moving on. So we are also in a bit of a difficult position. Can you come in, Patty? But remember, you're still waiting for responses.
Yeah, it's just a follow-up to Ms. Shabdi. Just asking, in the AG report, they make mention that on the 25th March 2007, the President appointed 11. Am I looking at the 11 or part of the 11 commissioners as we sit here? How long was the period then in between? Because it is 2007, and you said that when you got there was only one commissioner left. Now, how long was that period in between from the one getting to the 11? What was the period?
Was it a
whole year? And now you've been appointed, Chairperson, from 2007 till 2011. So it is a 5-year period. Thanks. 4-year period. 5 years.
Some chair they're 4.5, some they're 5 years.
Can I just? Chairperson, I didn't ask the acting Chairperson.
No. Thank you.
Can you come back to order? Honorable Kekani, can you have your side? Yeah. Sorry, Chair. You see, when this is happening, this is because, Chair, as you well know, these are public funds, and we as public representatives can't just sit back and see this type of irregularity happening in front of our eyes. No matter how autonomous, ultimately, sparks must fly when this type of a thing is happening. Now, what I'm just not happy is a follow-up. This arbitration that the process is on, but isn't it that it is taking rather too long? From 2007-08, it is over a year now. Remember that what that arbitration means is that funds that are supposed to do something are frozen. And performance of the commission is also frozen because those consultants that you've taken for arbitration did not deliver. So something must still be done, which they haven't done. And the more you delay is the more that suffers. I mean, this is supposed to deal with gender oppression and so on. And in fact, you are assisting gender oppression by all these irregularities. You're actually oppressing poor women. And we just can't sit down and watch this happen, because you are there to rescue them, but it seems like you're helping them to drown deeper and deeper into the deep sea. So, just about that, Ms. Krishna, I just want to respond to hear how quick, how soon. They should have deadlines, because it can't be forever. Otherwise, money is there and it can be used. Performance is there, it can be performed, because you're still waiting for the outcome. The last point, I would also like to, I heard there's a chief executive officer. I hope that's the chief executive officer for the commission. But at the same time, there's DG, director, acting DG and acting CEO. So I suppose acting DG is for the ministry, for the department. If that is the case, maybe Chair, he should also later tell us when the appointments would be done. I mean, he's here to also respond. But I mean, the point that I'm really raising is that things must be finalized. We can't just be discussing forever. We must work with deadlines so that we complete and we can start something else. Unless if you enjoy this operation of women.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't think the CGE would enjoy the oppression of women.
Mm.
But Kekal is raising that because of the way things have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Let me ask the acting CEO to speak about that, what Kekal about time frames, and also ask Commissioner Kiev to speak about the question around instability and capacity.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity, honorable members. I think that I want to take the last question maybe first. The one is that the legal processes that need to be put in place as a result of the AG's report and as a result of the forensic audit will come to a close very soon, honorable member, and we promise that we will then provide the House on a monthly basis with reports on the progress that will take place as those processes unfold. Of course, one has to be very careful legally not to do anything rash and consider different kinds of legal opinions. So we are having a meeting with the Auditor General later today at 2 o'clock. From that particular meeting, we will then make decisions as to what would be the real kinds of actions to be put in place to bring the various kinds of irregularities to the book and then report to the committee. Whilst I'm saying that there are already other processes in place that are already coming out of the previous AG's report with regard to the recovery of funds and looking at the other kinds of irregular expenditure. And I think it will probably be a very good idea on our side to provide you point by point with regard to the kinds of progress that have been made, even in a table form, so that you know that all the irregular expenditure that have taken place over the 2007-08 and 2008-09 financial year are being accounted for, and in terms of the PFMA that the acting CEO is doing her best to recover those funds. Where we land up in trouble with regard to that, we will of course ask the necessary kind of support in that regard. When it comes to the issue of instability, it's related to the fact that the commissioners were not in place for more than a year and that the governance structures then more or less collapsed. But with that, of course, is that, as you would know from the SCOPA hearings, is that we made a very crucial mistake, and that is collapsing the offices of the chairperson and the CEOs into one, which then makes the controls that are so necessary for financial management almost then impossible. And for that, we have put our own apologies on the table, and we take responsibility for that. The reason why the PFMA is structured in the way that it's structured is exactly to provide for those checks and balances so that it makes financial mismanagement a bit more difficult to take place. Of course, you will have to have all different kinds of systems in place to prevent that. So what we are now doing is that we are now moving towards a compliant financial regime with regard to the PFMA, and we brought in already two companies, that is Will Assisters with the current financial audit, also root out the remnants of the previous issues that have been raised, and then see whether we can't, within maybe Chairperson and I can't make promises, but probably within the next 2 months, give a kind of draft report on the findings of those two companies that we have appointed. We are meeting with them on Friday, and we are also going to then have some form of deadlines with regard to how we then relate to the new audit processes that are starting from the Auditor General's side. So I want to assure the House that even though these kinds of things have happened, that the kinds of, as Kopa has said, the horse have bolted, the horse is out of the stable, we are now trying our best to catch this horse, and we are in the process of doing that. We are trying to identify the people who have left the stable door unopened, and we will then report on all those kinds of measures as well, and try and have a much more engaged relationship with the committee in that regard. With regard to the non-submission of strategic plans, it is such a elementary thing in terms of the PSMA that one can no other but to acknowledge the fact that that is a result of the total collapse of the kinds of control weakness of the controls and the financial systems within the organization, because the idea of submitting a strategic plan is to the various kinds of authorities is something that should come normal to a public institution. And I think that if that has not been submitted, then I think we will have to get out in order in that regard as well. That goes again with regard to the kinds of explanation about why annual reports are late as well, and why reporting deadlines are not met. And that's also a requirement that we will have to fulfill in a more stringent way. And we are now relying on a PFMA checklist to provide us with guidance as to figuring out where is it that we should deal with these kinds of matters. At least we can assure that the committee that we have had a strategic plan and a budget signed off for this financial year that started on the 1st of April in a compliant way in terms of the PFMA, and we have submitted those. We have recorded that for the AG's audit report, and we have also submitted the necessary copies to the people who have oversight responsibility over ourselves. I'm not so sure, just in terms of the chair's plea, with regard to not beating around the bush, and I think I agree with that. The idea is that everybody, lots of members were in Scopa as well, and I think what we should just acknowledge is that those kinds of things that have been raised in Scopa are the things that we are trying to deal with at the present moment. So, Chair, thanks for that. I'm not so sure whether I've left out anything. The one about the employers that have been leaving, that has been answered by Commissioner Hicks, but that is also part of the kinds of management regime that was in place prior to the commissioners coming in place. You see, organizations, they are very fragile institutions. They have systems, but they also need soul. And they need love, and they need compassion, they need controls, they need all kinds of different kinds of things. And to keep people in an organization, you literally have to have very, very strong systems, but you also have to have compassion for human beings as well, if you want to keep them within the organization. What has happened there, of course, is that one has to be careful about the kinds of systems and controls that CEOs put in place and the way in which staff are treated. That, of course, has led to the high turnover of staff during that particular period when people experience the CGE as an oppressive organization and an organization that is not looking after its own staff members. I think, Honorable Patsy, that is the one that you've asked. And the second one that you've asked, and I am not going to miss out any of those, is the Commissioner's awareness with regard to financial difficulties. What has happened is that the financial reporting, because of the collapse of the governance systems, the financial reporting was not done in compliance with PFMI, so you won't get those kinds of reporting that will show you where are the difficulties arising. And that is why some of the staff members have started writing to Parliament and all those kinds of processes. At least now this kind of things are on the table, and we have at least a basis that provides us with the ills that are identified, which then gives you a much better chance to provide for a cure once you have identified those kinds of ills. And just to end off the assurance in terms of the financial committee and the good governance committee, we will report on a monthly basis on these kinds of matters to the committee. Sorry, that I've taken so long, Chair.
Okay.
Okay, you can come and receive follow-up. What time is this?
Yes, I will be.
It's still on the strategic plan, the 2008-2013. We spoke about it was not submitted. You know, that it was written. They gave an answer. But the CGE has to know that although we are sitting with a strategic plan, it is still not submitted to Parliament because it has to go to the speakership. So they have to sort out that. Now looking at the problems that the CGE has, how executable is the current strategic plan that you have? And how flexible is the strategic plan in order to deal with the serious challenges in the organization? Because again, this is something old. And they still didn't speak to the validity of this report. No signatures. Thank you.
But again, also in the strategic plan, the CGE, for whatever reason, you didn't see the need to involve us as a committee.
Yes.
You just did it on your own. Had we been part of that strategic plan, then we are also able to own it and contribute to it. You do it all on your own for whatever reason.
Sorry, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson. My Chairperson can't see me from where he's sitting, which is why I'm appealing to you. Sorry. I just want to clarify a couple of things because, you know, with our strategic plan, it was finalized in March 2008, which was before you existed as a committee. We presented it to the Select Committee of Parliament, which we obliged to do by regulation. But the Portfolio Committee on Justice didn't call us in for 18 months. Therefore, we were unable to present to them our five-year strategic plan, and therefore it could not be presented to the Speaker's office. Now, we've taken full responsibility as an institution, the buck stops here. But I think what we are trying to say is we cannot run the CG on our own. There are certain regulatory functions for which we require Parliament. So for us, it's not an issue of responsibility. We're not for people. We're just saying, as a matter of fact, this is what happened. With the unsigned strategic, with the unsigned annual report, I'm going to allow the CEO to speak to that, just to say it has now been delivered. Sorry, I just want to ensure that I'm covering all the points. With regard to commissioners being aware of the financial difficulties, there's a paper trail dating from May 2008 right through to our final letter to the Deputy Speaker of June 2009, which we're happy to, we just didn't bring it because we felt you had enough paper, but we're happy to document every single last memo, every email, every letter directed to Parliament stating exactly what was happening at the CGE. There's no secretive about this, it's just we were not entirely sure how much documentation you require, but we'll be happy to provide that. I think that covers, do you just want to say 207, 208 reports here.
Through you, Chair. Thanks. I'm not too sure, Honourable Marcus, whether you were relating to the annual report being unsigned or the strategic plan. My understanding is that you're talking about the strategic plan.
Yes, Chair. Thanks. There's another question around how flexible is the strategic plan. The strategic plan is not rigid. It's a five-year strategic plan, but every year we come and review and develop the POA, and the POA has been submitted to the committee as well on our programmatic issues that we want to deal with on a year in and year out. So those we really, really consider. Like this POA as well, we looked at the strategic plan and we see. And in our POA as well, we have a section where if there is an issue that is emerging, that needs CGE to actually attend to, as a CGE, we need to actually attend to that being allowed by the POA. So we review it on a year in and year out and make sure that we have our own program being guided by the strategic plan. And Chair,
terms of that, there was another question about the chairperson's dedication, and how did the acting CEO to also respond to that?
Thank you, Chairperson. There are some questions that you have not answered. The media, the negative media perception of the CGE. I think this is a two-pronged kind of, originates from two processes. One was when staff went out and complained to both Parliament and the Public Protector and leaked that information to the media. Which made allegations, some were quite factual and some were not. And then it also relates to the, just prior to the resignation of our former chairperson announced her resignation on the media prior to giving the letter to Parliament. And the letter was quite negative because it said the CGE was toxic and she's leaving because she did not get any support from the CGE. And subsequent to that, the media, the negative media statements started again with the investigation of both the OPP and the Auditor General. Then, Chairperson, there was also another question asked about the litigation that Ms. Dasa is taking legal action against the CGE. I would say, yes, that is true, she is, but it's not related to anything else but the fact that she claimed that the CGE owed her money for leave, which was, I can't remember, more than, pardon me? Okay. So anyway, the CGE said cannot be true. So that's where the stalemate comes in. But the whole thing probably will be revealed by the report of the Auditor General. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, I thought that you have given me the platform.
Oh, yeah, sorry, there was one anonymous. Yeah.
There was a hand somewhere. Can you come in, Kova?
Chairperson, thank you. It was just a follow up on the information you got from the commissioner. I hear talking about the recovery of the funds. Whether can we take that meeting that there will be any way that we can cover some of the funds that have been misused by CG. I just wanted to confirm that and be taking an immediate in this meeting.
Before you do that, can you come in more?
I think our department store always asked a question, an answer to a question. Yes, where I spoke about one of the commissioners that is within the department. I'm still waiting for my answer. And I think there are a few other answers still that we have to give. Thank you.
Marcus, you didn't raise a question.
Yes, I did.
Actually, you raised a concern.
No, it was a question. I think you are supposed to be sitting here.
Hold on.
And I spoke about misleading the committee.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Hold
sorry,
on.
Chairperson.
I thought you were raising a concern.
We need to answer the concern. Because they can't answer it now, Chairperson. Then they can come back because that question will be asked and the concern will be raised again in front of the minister. So they have to just say, if we can answer. Because I made a strong statement by saying she misled the committee. And people are
now, to this marker, can you put your question to the department? Let's put it clear, because the first time it was a concern, you didn't put it as a question. Can you put the question now across?
Yes, I'll change it to a question. look at is a concern that we have an ex-commissioner within our department as an advisor. And we always felt, because your questions were asked on the CGE, you know, the status, what is happening, etc. Then the person is the advisor is sitting with the minister. And we felt as a committee, actually the ANC side, that, you know, it's misleading when a question is asked and you're not answering. And how far is our minister being misled to? because our minister didn't know anything about the CGE. Thank you. Just reply to it. If there's no question, if there's no reply, it will come back in another meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was just question number 7 on the private sector research versus unfinished research that I wanted to clarify, because that is research that falls under Honourable Malchus's question number 7. That falls under the Poverty Committee, which I chair. And I just want to explain, the private sector research was completed in the financial year 2007-2008. The unfinished research that was being referred to on page 43 has nothing to do with the private sector research. From January to March 2009, we had no money for program activities in the CGE. We didn't have petrol to put in our car fleets. We couldn't reimburse program officers for petrol. We couldn't have catering. We literally could not pay for parking in our parking garage. And as a result, the land research, which should have been finished in that financial year, was rolled over till the next financial year. That research has been completed now, and that is the one we'd like to launch. So I hope that clarifies question number 7. Thank you.
And can I just also check on the issue of the overdraft? What was the reason for those big overdrafts? The office in Kimberley and also the head office. I think the one was 17,000 and the other was about 2.2 million. What is the reason for those overdrafts?
Thank you, Chairperson. Due to lack of financial management expertise at the time, the issue around cash flow management was lacking basically within the CGE. And then the other contributory factor is the manner in which finances were used during that particular financial year. Finances which were used to pay for unauthorized expenditure, which have been reported by the Auditor General then. So the situation is now improving. Subsequent to those overdrafts, the 2.3 or 2.4 million which was reported as overdraft basically comes also in contravention to the PFMA, because PFMA doesn't permit any public entity or constitutional institution to borrow from anybody else without authorization from the minister. So we are turning the corner. I think for the past financial year, there have been no such challenges around the non-availability of cash when the cash is necessary to fund operations of the organization.
And on the issue of the increment of the CEO, who was responsible for that? The way it was done.
The increment, the former chairperson, not the current commissioners, the former crop of commissioners, it was not during our time. It happened before our time. When there were no commissioners.
To your knowledge, you were responsible for that. You must have said something.
The CEO
herself. Follow up on that one. If it happened not in their time, 2007, although you are accountable, is it still the case today that 37% increase when it comes to you, the acting CEO? Thank you.
One of the first things that the new commissioner suggested was the issue around the self-increase by the CEO. That's when we started the process of saying, account for this 37% raise for yourself,
And that was part also around the issue around her resign and our exit, she exiting from the commission. So we take full responsibility. The question is what we have done.
Mm-hmm.
We have, that was part of the parcel of grievances we had with the previous CEO.
The follow-up is the present CEO is at 7% now.
It's a very strange question. Can we have a response on that? The current CEO, acting CEO?
No. She's earning the right salary.
What is the right salary?
The correct salary is at a chief director level. You know, what is critical about CGE, let me just say this, is that in terms of our grading, we're graded lower than other chartered institutions. So,
Why is that?
That was a decision that was made when CGE was set up, was formed. So even the money they get from treasury, it's less than other organizations. So our CEO, our acting CEO now is at the chief director level. So if we want to change that, we need to come to Parliament, present, and say, well, get more money than the CGE.
But also the CGE, what the CGE needs to do, like you're saying, even in terms of the budget, you're allocated less than the other Chapter 9 institutions. Then that should tell us something. Why is that so? You have to make tangible improvements in order for us as a committee, you know, to try and lobby for more funds. You have to make tangible improvements in the lives of the groups that you are serving. Otherwise, I mean, you put us in a difficult position that we can't lobby. Why should we? If you are not making an impact. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Honorable Tal, let me give you a chance here.
I just want to clear it to Comrade Chair. We just want to know how much exactly, so that when we come in, exactly we know how much the CEO is getting. Why is it being hidden, that part of the salary?
Chair, can I ask the Chief Financial Officer to go to the salary slip from the computer, and then in about 10 to 20 minutes we give you the exact salary for that?
No, you don't. Isn't the acting CEO here?
Yeah.
Yes, she must just tell us. It's so much per annum. Simple.
How much per annum? I think in terms of the chief director level, it should be 746 per annum.
Sure.
I just want the acting CFO to verify that particular level in terms of...
You know, you really put us in a difficult fit. These are not nice questions to ask. You know what I mean? Like, we are starting to be a bit personal, but you are making things so difficult for us that you force us to ask this question. What is the current salary of the acting CEO?
It's the current
CEO. It is on the level of 746,000 per annum.
Are you sure?
Are you sure what you're saying? Yes, I think, Chair, can you come in?
Chair, can I ask that we get the exact amount from the CFO? Because sometimes when you look at your salary, some people don't look at that. If you ask the net pay, they will say, yeah, I know, I earn 40,000 and so on. But let's allow the CEO to look at the pay slip and give the exact.
You know why we are getting into this? There's this perception that politicians don't, they do, I'm a nagi. You just answer them anything, they will take it. There is that perception from some officials. That's why you hear these members digging and digging. Because we have this perception that politicians, you can just tell them anything, you know. And it shouldn't be like that. You can't tell us anything. You have to tell us the right thing. You really been nagging me, can I hear what
you're saying? Chair, just to share with the members, which I think can be a very great discussion going forward. When at the time when Chapter 9 institutions were set up, the grading was done very arbitrarily. There was no research done about how these organizations should be graded. It was just given to National Treasury to come up with a particular kind of formula.
Just like MPs.
Yeah. With National Treasury. What then happened is that the grading that then was assigned to the Gender Commission literally gave us a sense of the discourse of how people think about the importance of gender equality, i.e. a bit lower than others. And that is a battle that we will have to fight on that structural level with regard to the engagement with National Treasury so that there can be a regrading being done with regard to those organizations. The other interesting point is that the designers of the Constitution have not meant for these organizations to be implementers, if one can make it like that, given the fact that we have very limited budgets, you know, and that's why one of the arguments that we're having now, which I think we should have as a collective with the committee, is to rethink the nature of these organizations as catalyst organizations, organizations that have great watchdog functions that makes the monies that are available in the public arena work for gender equality a bit better. Instead of arguing for bigger budgets to build, it must be, you know, the idea of a catalyst organization that rather makes sure that you perform a function that makes the money allocated for gender work goes a bit further within the public arena, within the public place. Now, that is a strategic discussion that one has to have over a few months of time, and it will be great for us to engage with that, because simply by the nature of the organization and the budget assigned to it, it really indicates already what kind of organization it should become and what kind of organization the constitutional drafters had in mind when they put together our particular mandates and when they structured us in a way in which we are structured at the present moment. Of course, in terms of, we operate now in terms of the Paris principles, which is UN guidelines with regard to the independence of these kinds of organizations. And one of the major issues is that public legitimacy is the best protector of independence. I.e. that you will have to work hard to gain public legitimacy and public trust, the point that you have made, Chair, that what would be the reason for us, for you, for the committee to lobby if we do not have public legitimacy. And that is a particular role and function that we would like to try and perform now to our utmost, so that the public legitimacy of the CGE is increased. And through public legitimacy, you also stretch the hands that are assigned to you through those kinds of processes. And we really hope that we can find a kind of basis and a kind of space where we can do this with the support of the committee, of course. With regard to the question of recovery, I think that we will be meeting later today with the Auditor General, which will give us a sense of what is recoverable and what is not recoverable. Honourable Member, thank you very much, Chair.
I think we will have to try and find time as a committee to engage in what has been said now. For now, out of what you've said, we need to actually try and separate the issue of what is happening now, which has not gone down well to us in the community, the misappropriation of funds and so forth, and what you have just said now, two different things. Because really, what is the reason of this entity getting lesser than the other institutions? Those are some of the things we need to talk about. When it's given certain importance, again, it tells us something that really gender issues are not privatized. You know, we need to talk about that at another level, maybe not now in this meeting. Janine, can you come in?
Further down the line, I wanted to pick up on a question that one is left hanging that the Honourable Grace raised, which is around the implementation and the outreach and the reach of our work. And the Honourable Grace had raised concern based on Limpopo statistics about our ability to reach into rural provinces. I'm not sure if you're wanting to take an answer on that now or whether you're wanting to follow the thread. Yeah? Okay. We do have our acting HOD for the education and information program here, and I'm sure she can speak further to it. What I'm wanting to say is it is unfortunate, and I think we must acknowledge that there were difficulties within that particular province around capacity and around performance. And we have a turnaround strategy, and measures are being taken by our current acting CEO to address why has the province of Limpopo not been delivering. But can I just point out that we have large other rural provinces. I'm responsible for giving support to KwaZulu-Natal and the Mpumalanga provinces. We have the Eastern Cape with the commissioners here, and we have the Northern Cape. We have our concern in KwaZulu-Natal is that we're not in the urban areas sufficiently. We're not addressing other race groups and urban areas. Our focus, it's almost the other way around. There are extensive outreach interventions, and we're collaborating extensively with the C9s in our provinces. We go out together with the OPP. We work with the IEC, which has an office in every single municipality in our provinces, to do joint interventions there, to do legal clinics. So there is extensive work to reach into the rural communities of our provinces. And I hope, you know, the presentation that our acting CEO gave in the beginning, that despite these challenges, despite the mismanagement, considerable and substantive work has been done by the institution and continues to be done. The strengthening of mechanisms and systems can only serve to enhance that and make it more effective and extend our reach and impact.
We must say that we do appreciate some of the work that has been done, and that has been done. It's a pity that the image has been tarnished by this, you know, by this thing. But nevertheless, I don't think we should look down on the work that you have done as the CGE. We do recognize the work done, but however, we all have been tarnished by, you know, the problems that have arisen within the CGE. Honorable Kekane.
Chair, in line with what you just said now, I think just before we end the meeting, I would personally like to hear some kind of a summary, not a turnaround strategy, but a summary of a few things that we think or you think should happen in order for this commission to operate properly. Remember, we can't just sit and critique and do all this. Ultimately, we want to know what is it that must be done to normalize things and how soon we think. I mean, for example, if you say to us, your term is going to expire, you need new appointments so that you don't fall into the same trap of vacancies and a board that cannot operate because it is left with one man show. Then you say that to us, and when are the appointments supposed to be due so that we can intervene when necessary. The second point we have raised, that one of finances, what is recoverable, what is not recoverable, so that we know financially what will stabilize the organization. The third thing, that one about the CEO being the chair, if the law needs to be changed and the chair being accountable to the board, you know, I mean, for me, the whole board should be accountable to us, Parliament. And the board and the chair should be one and the same. So I don't understand why they separated the chair and the board. The chair accounts into Parliament. The chair should go with the board because they are one structure. So those type of things, if you can just list them up to us in a summary, because that will help us and say what the time frames are, that will help us so that in the next meeting or just before the end of the year, we are able to check those, that checklist and see how far you've gone. Otherwise, I'm afraid we'll be discussing, critiquing, getting different responses. asking for your salaries. Mine is public, fortunately, so you can't even ask. Everybody knows about it. Which opens me up. But I'm just saying you can give us that so that, you know, especially the issue, we wouldn't like to see another board that can operate because appointments haven't been done. So if you can just give us a list of those, so that we have confidence that after all this effort to correct, we're criticizing not to bet you, but to correct, so that we show that we are correcting and things are normalizing. And it is interesting that women can oppress each other also. We've seen it with the chair of the CEO. Yeah. And they're actually worse than men.
I don't agree with you, Jenny. Can I give you just a chance before we wrap up?
Chairperson, I just want to speak to three questions very quickly. As chair of the Poverty Committee, I just want to assure the Portfolio Committee that the bulk of our work around gender and poverty is rural-based, not just in terms of the women's access to land research that we've completed. That's, of course, very fundamental, but also in terms of the constitutional court cases where we've been friends of the court, the Bear case that... that assured women married under customary marriages of a right to inherit, and also the Shilobani case that intervenes on women's right to chieftainship. And in both cases, the Constitutional Court ruled that the right to gender equality supersedes the right to custom and tradition, and that affects 20% of women in our country who overwhelmingly live in rural areas. So I just wanted to reassure you on that point. With respect to the question of the recoverability of funds, we actually this afternoon 1:30 meeting with the Auditor General, and that is when we ourselves as a body are going to receive the forensic audit. And obviously once we have it, we'll be in a much better position to tell you exactly what is being recommended in terms of further litigation. We're currently undertaking litigation against the former chair in respect of an amount of $340,000. That has already been verified by the person seconded from the Department of Justice. All the other sums, we will be able to reassure you after this afternoon exactly what it's about. But we can assure you that every cent that is owing to the taxpayer will be recovered. It's appeared as if we haven't wanted to tell you, but the fact of the matter is we've been waiting on these external reports, and we're happy at any time, once we have them in our hands, to report to you. With respect to the way forward, the ASMAL review of 2007 gives a number of recommendations around the standardization of chairpersons of C9s. And I would recommend that the committee, and again, we're happy to come brief you on the ASMAL review recommendations. But it's about the status of the chairperson, it's about the process of appointment, it's about the qualifications and the interview process itself. We fully support those recommendations. Similarly, with regard to appointments and standardization of appointment of commissioners, we just want to express our support for those. That review has not yet been debated in Parliament. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking what is it you can do, clearly until it's been debated in Parliament, it's very difficult to implement. We just want to highlight how it leaves us as a C9 in a very, very difficult position. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was not going to speak to the Casmal report. However, I just want to say that as a committee, we know that there is that kind of a report, but we don't know the status of it. And until then, you know, we are assured of the status of the report. It's only then that we can be able maybe to act on it. I lastly wanted to say, Chair, that, you know, it's quite clear that justice and constitutional development really, it shows that they were not very effective in as far as oversight is concerned. And now that this commission has been placed under this portfolio committee, we want to assure it, the CDE, that given the challenges and the problems, you know, that we have seen in this in the report, and you know, those develop beyond it, we are going to ensure that we actually exercise, you know, our oversight over it. And as a committee, we still need to sit down and agree as to how do we want to do that. But as you know, that in accordance with the PFMA, I think financially you have to report every 3 months. And I think previously this was overlooked. We want to say that we are going to ensure that we build that, you know, a strong relationship with you to ensure that in future this committee doesn't, you know, again fall into what we have seen recently. Thanks.
Thanks. Can I then, members, we have to close sometime. I know you love these meetings. You don't want to now cut.
I'd like to have my question answered, please.
The reason why I'm leaving that question unanswered, one, the DG is very new. He's still acting, and I don't think we have seen him before. So it would be a bit unfair to ask some of the questions to him. Maybe what we could do on our side, we could call a meeting and call in the department and let us engage on some of the issues that you have raised. I think that would be a bit fair. Let's do it that way. And I thought I was just going to briefly go through some of the recommendations that we have worked out as a committee with the assistance of our researchers that could assist you, what we would want to see. Can I quickly go through them? Of course, it's unfortunate that we haven't received the forensic audit report yet that we are aware of. So we are saying there is a need to engage with the content of the report. We also do see the need to amend the CGE Act. Of course, you would have heard some of the issues that were raised that they actually bounce back to the app. We also see the need to engage with the substance of the turnaround strategy. And as a committee, perhaps we would see the need to amend it wherever it's necessary. And we also need to see the strategy, your turnaround strategy. It should have clear time frames with clear lines of accountability. There is a need to monitor ongoing basis to ensure that targets set in the turnaround strategy are being met. Well, we have said, according to the PFMA, 3 months, you actually offered to come and report on a monthly basis. So those are some of the things that could help us. We also recommend to the CGE that all commissioners and senior staff undergo training in the PFMA. So those are some of the recommendations that we think could help, you know, in the rebuilding of the CGE. Let me just give you a chance, Honorable Robinson, now that you've come in late and perhaps you have some contributions made. But I thought otherwise I have, you know,
thank you, Chair. I'll be very quick, and I do apologize for missing this very important meeting. Unfortunately, I had another important one involving disability at the Cape Town Stadium. I just wanted to ask whether my letter, which I wrote in, which was a contribution towards the turnaround strategy, whether you have discussed that either in committee or more widely, my suggestion.
Can you answer that?
No, I mean, Chairperson, we decided that we're going to ask the Commission to come in again to report on their turnaround strategy. So we do have it, we did receive it, but we will handle it at another occasion. And very soon, I guess.
Now, the reason for that, Honorable Robinson, is that we had only received the strategy today. So, you know, it was not going to give us ample time to engage on it. On that note, can we then... Okay, let's hear the point. Would someone die if we don't hear the point?
I will die. Chair, as CGE, in terms of our work now, in terms of the CGE Act, you are mandated to monitor the implementation of the international instruments. And CGE, for the first time, is doing a wonderful work in terms of that, where the Beijing Plus 15 report, I spoke to you, I told you that even in New York, and we have a report as well on CEDAW, and we understand that our government will be reporting on the CEDAW report in January. So in terms of the Act, we're supposed to present those reports in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a report available now, which is a summary highlighting issues about Beijing Plus 15. There's another report that we'll be presenting to Parliament in the month's time from now. We appeal to the committee that when they receive those reports, they must actually call us immediately so they can present those reports. But in terms of the Act, the committee has to see those reports before we distribute them outside, because we have a problem that if we don't see them, and we have to actually submit them in the CEDAW committee so they can actually see our perspective of this. So we really request the committee to actually see those reports.
So you're trying to give yourself a pat on the back.
No.
Let's ask you a pat on the back. Not you giving yourself. Okay. On that note, can we then officially...
Okay. I just want to ask, can we decide on the date today for the CGE to come and do the turnaround strategy? I think this is very important that we get this out of the way. And then maybe part of this is what Mr. Chorley just...
No, I don't think there's a need for us to decide on the day today.
Now,
that will do as you know, and then you'll be informed, and the CGE will be informed as well. You don't have to come up with a day today, because the committee secretary must guide us on that. So
okay,
we can't let it come.
No,
it won't be long.
I promise.
We have to be guided by committee section on that. Can we then formally close the meeting? Thank you.
I don't know.